So now what the machine can do is that for each legal question, for example, in the case of reasonable notice calculation, we'll have a system, an open access system that will be available in the next few months based on a couple of criteria. So for example, criteria that are important for the judges or for litigants. So for example, how old the employee is, how long you worked for the company, what kind of job they had, and then the person, I mean, the lawyers or the litigant would click on this menu, and then the system would give him like the three closest cases to their situation.
Welcome to Blind Date with Knowledge. This is a weekly half-hour talk show featuring Queen's University researchers and scholars. The show is a platform for Queen's researchers to discuss the significance to and benefits of their research on everyday lives. I'm Barry Kaplan, the show's host. In this episode, my guest is Samuel Dahan. Dr. Samuel Dahan is an assistant professor in the Faculty of Law and a Queen's National Scholar. He's the director of the Conflict Analytics Lab at Queen's, which is a legal tech global consortium on the application of data analytics and AI to dispute resolution and a negotiation. He's an adjunct professor of law at Cornell University, an affiliate faculty member of the Program on Negotiation at Harvard Law School, and a member of the European Incubator of the Brussels Bar. Dr. Dahan has worked as a legal secretary to the Court of Justice of the European Union and as a legal advisor for the Comparative Law Unit of the French Administrative Supreme Court. His research focuses on regulatory responses to the euro crisis from an empirical data perspective. He's also a nationally medaled athlete in Taekwondo. Hello, Samuel. Thank you very much for being on our show today.
Hi, Barry. Thank you very much.
Let's begin our conversation by discussing the work of the Conflict Analytics Lab. I'm going to quote from the website. It says conflict analytics is the process of extracting actionable knowledge from negotiation, mediation, and settlement agreements. For example, customer disputes, employment, and commercial negotiation. Advanced analytics and AI tools can help to reveal trends and patterns in past disputes that inform legal and negotiating strategies and predict outcomes in current disputes. Conflict analytics does not provide black box solutions. Data-driven insights are not meant to replace human wisdom. Rather, they act as a way of complementing it. So this is an interesting, ripe for all kinds of interesting questions about the technology and also if there are controversial aspects of it. So let's have you describe your AI approach and explain how it integrates with conventional law practices. And if you can use an example maybe to clarify, that would be terrific.
Yes, for sure. Thank you very much, Barry. So I don't have really an AI approach per se because I am not myself an AI scientist. So my colleagues and my co-directors are AI researchers, but our approach is looking at text and taking the practice of law involves reading a lot of text, and so we're trying to train machines to read this text and extract the relevant information. And usually the relevant information for a lawyer is what happened in the past. I mean, when you're a lawyer, what you want to know is the relevant precedent. And over the last 10 years, I mean, because of technological innovation, like LexisNexis, Westlaw, those who are not familiar, are the largest database. For a lawyer now, it's becoming very difficult to find the relevant information. Maybe 30 or 40 years ago, when you were a lawyer is trying to settle or resolve legal disputes or non-legal disputes, what they did is they look at their past experience, or maybe there are a couple of precedents. Now the situation is fairly different, and there's millions of precedents, millions of settlement agreements. So now we think the machines can help to go through this text, past text, and extract what is the closest solution to the situation that you're dealing with right now.
So what I'd like you to talk about is the difference between doing a conventional keyword search and this AI approach.
Yes, very well. So yes, a conventional keyword approach, like a Boolean research, Google-style research, you let's say an employee is terminated and they want to know how much notice they should be getting from their employers. And what you would do is you would say, okay, you go on LexisNexis or even Google or Canly, which are like the open access database in Canada, and you would look for termination, wrongful notice, and you would get probably 20, 30, maybe 100 cases. So what you would do as a lawyer or even as a litigant, because actually that kind of technology, our research is mainly geared at helping self-represented litigants. That means people who don't have a lot of legal backgrounds, but that's a different subject. So you would go through this database and look at every case, click on the link, go with control F, search for the, right? And then you would probably spend a couple hours, maybe a couple of days.
Right.
So now what the machine can do is that for each legal question, for example, in the case of reasonable notice calculation, we'll have a system, an open access system that will be available in the next few months based on a couple of criteria. So for example, criteria that are important for the judges or for litigants. So for example, how old the employee is, how long you worked for the company, what kind of job they had, and then the lawyers or the litigant would click on this menu, and then the system would give him like the three closest cases to their situation.
So I think it was in the lab website. It talked about predictability, and I'd like you to talk about that a little bit more, because I think most people listening to this conversation would think, okay, this sounds good. It's rule driven, but would there be an aspect of subjectivity? Would your approach be contested by the person you're up against?
Okay, so that's a very, very good question. Actually, that's also the main goal of this lab, is that we are aiming at publishing the code, the research, unlike other organizations, especially private organizations who are claiming to achieve a very high level of accuracy without really explaining why, and which is fairly problematic in the courtroom, because you can't really say, oh, my algorithm says that I should be getting $5,000. Okay, so why? The other problem, so now in that regard, it is possible for the lawyers to check the cases and say, actually, these cases are not that relevant. I mean, they are relevant to a certain extent, but they're not that similar to the actual case we're trying to resolve now. But that's the second problem, is now for certain legal questions, we can achieve very high level of accuracy. So 90%, 95%. But for other cases, in other situations, we can't, because there is a level of subjectivity in the judicial decision making that is not possible to overcome. I mean, no matter how good your algorithm is, you won't be able to predict if for the same set of facts, two judges will reach a different conclusion. There's no way. So for example, I go back to the example of wrongful termination. Our algorithm helps us to predict a range. So let's say you worked for 10 years, you may be getting between 9 and 12 month reasonable notice. But it's almost impossible, no matter how our algorithm, we tried all kind of deep learning, machine learning, all sort of algorithm, it's not possible to pin it down to exactly 9.5 months, because there's a group of judges that will say you should be getting 9 months, and there's a group of judges that will be saying, so the reality is just not there. Maybe in the next 20 years, because judges will be aware that other judges are reaching different solutions, but right now, that's not. And I think it's a good thing that there is still flexibility in the final in the final outcome.
One of the other things that strikes me about the negotiation, the sort of the warrior-like resolution of an issue, is that you're coming in with an advantage where you have the AI, you have you can produce a lot of data that has sort of a solid base. If you go up against a negotiator, a lawyer that doesn't have this or can interpret that, would that in some way jeopardize the ability of the case to go forward? Would the judge, for example, see that you have an unfair advantage?
I mean, okay, so that's a fair point. Actually, the French government is pushing for their legislation to ban the use of statistics applied to judicial decisions because that's the argument. They say there is a violation of the European Convention of Human Rights, and there would be a violation of the provision on equality of arms. The reality is that while so there are two solutions here. So actually, there are two problems. The first problem is that nowadays, I mean, there are huge firms and small firms, and there is already an asymmetry of power, no matter, I mean, whether we like it or not. The second thing is that actually I think technology can resolve that issue. I think for me, especially if we build open access technology, that means we can give access to this technology to the small firms that you're referring to and not make this technology only available to large firms, which is actually what's happening now. The larger tech companies and only large firms have access to that kind of technology. And I think the goal of this lab is not only to make this technology accessible to small and medium-sized firms, but actually to self-represented litigants, to give them some kind of access of a legal service.
It seems to me, just to close out this section, that the issue of training and getting these other firms up to speed is going to be very critical.
Yeah.
And obviously this will be taught in schools going forward, but there's got to be dozens, scores of small and medium-sized companies that may not have this capacity right now. So maybe through their bar association or some other mechanism, they'll need to get this training. Mm. Blind Date with Knowledge is broadcast on CFRC Radio, 101.9 FM, Campus and Community, Queens Radio in Kingston. And we're in Carruthers Hall. All the episodes of Blind Date with Knowledge are available on the CFRC website or the Queen's University research website at queensu.ca/research. I close out each episode of Blind Date with Knowledge by asking my guest to share something personal related to their research or their motivation associated with their research. So Samuel, the microphone is yours.
Okay, so I've thought about many things. So I think one thing is that I know a lot of your other speakers are talking about quotes, songs. I mean, there's one author that I really like. He's actually a colleague from the University of Pennsylvania. He's a professor at Wharton. He doesn't know me, obviously, but I really like him. He has a podcast called Work Life. And so his name is Adam Grant, and he wrote a book that really changed my life and also made me want to be doing that work. The book is called Give and Take, and he collected a lot of empirical data on givers and takers, and he's proving that by being a giver, you can still be more successful. While I don't see myself in any of these categories, I think this is a good ideology, a good philosophy for life.
Well, that's wonderful. It struck me when you were talking about that. You probably know this through your law background, but is it John Rawls who's got the...
Yeah.
So is it similar? There is,
maybe he's... I don't know. A lot of my legal philosopher colleagues would probably kill me for saying that. Maybe he's a modern version of John Rawls, but no, yet.
Well, thank you so much, Samuel. My guest in this episode of Blind Date with Knowledge has been Dr. Samuel Dehaene. He's an assistant professor in the Faculty of Law and a Queen's National Scholar. If you have a question about anything related to research that you would like discussed by our guests, or if you have comments about today's conversation with Samuel Dehaene, please call me or email me, Barry Kaplan at bdwk@cfrc.ca. Thank you very much for tuning in.